Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, launching into another week here of your calls and thoughts. If you want to join us here on the radio, the toll-free number for you is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Also, we do have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And you can easily get involved over there. There's also chat rooms where you can discuss things with our other listeners and some of the co-hosts. But the call-in line rooms will make it sound like you're sitting here in the studio with me, Ian.
And me, Mark.
Of course, lots to talk about in the news. Google apparently shutting down Google Plus. Who knew that it was still around? I had no idea. They're closing it earlier than they originally had intended. But over the last couple of weeks, I've had a news story here that I've teased it, but we've never gotten to it. And now there's basically a follow-up piece in the news about people being real hungry in Venezuela right now. According to Breitbart.com, the NGO Human Rights Watch has compiled some data that found that around 80% of Venezuelans are now short of food. So
this has been happening to some extent up till now.
For a couple few years,
but
yeah.
80% and short of food, that sounds bad.
It's not getting better.
Yeah.
Following a trip to the Venezuelan border with Brazil by a team of health experts from Johns Hopkins University, researchers found that malnutrition continues to rise aggressively, with 80% of households unable to access enough food and rates of malnutrition among 5 years now over the World Health Organization's crisis limit.
This isn't real socialism, Ian. This is state capitalism.
That's not what they would say.
Oh, well, it's state capitalism.
Nicolas Maduro would not
say it's capitalism because it's not working.
You're saying what a socialist would say who is not from Venezuela, basically.
That's always the answer.
In 2017, the average person lost around 24 pounds in Venezuela. In 2016, it was 19 pounds. It is expected to have risen in 2018. So that's a huge problem. I mean, can you imagine the average person over a two-year time frame losing up to 40 pounds?
That's very bad.
Combined with the chronic malnutrition, the report also points to the scale of the collapse of the country's health system, with practically every major health condition ranging from tuberculosis to malaria reaching crisis levels. For example, the number of malaria cases has risen from 36,000 in 2009 to 406,000 in 2017, while 87% of HIV patients now do not receive their necessary drugs. In fact, it's hard to even find basic antibiotics.
Yeah, people are just dying early,
in
basically.
Venezuela. You get an infection, good luck.
You got high blood pressure?
Hope you can find some soap, let alone any kind of actual like medical facilities,
right?
Treatments. Most of these conditions are going untreated, mainly due to a lack of necessary medical resources and trained specialists. Experts managed to collect the data by working with local authorities at the Venezuelan border with Brazil, where thousands of people are fleeing the country every day, many of whom are in need of urgent humanitarian assistance. Around 2.3 million Venezuelans have left the country since 2015, mostly to neighboring Colombia and Brazil and other Latin American countries, as well as, because if you can afford to get out and you can, you have the physical ability to get out, you should get out of Venezuela. You probably have by now.
Yeah, there's not many people hanging out wondering, I wonder if I should stay. I sure am hungry.
Mostly, as well as a humanitarian disaster.
I bet the people in the other places are eating food.
That's right. The country is also seeing a complete collapse of most of its institutions, infrastructure, and public services. Nowadays, essential products and resources, including water, electricity, transportation, gasoline, and toiletries, are all in scarce supply, with regular blackouts across major towns and cities. Such dire statistics add weight to the growing international concern of Venezuela's economic and humanitarian crisis, caused in large part by the failed socialist revolution enacted under its... Wait, I thought it was a success!
Well, I don't know how to
describe it. The socialists won!
Socialist successes look like this.
Yeah. Eventually.
Remarkably.
Not at first.
They look remarkably like failures. Well, the reality is, okay, so this is the problem. The problem is that the people who want socialism believe the things that they're told. Well, this is in fact what they wanted. They wanted the ability to take as much of your stuff as they could get and then make themselves happy. There's 20% of people in Venezuela that haven't lost weight. Maduro isn't exactly svelte.
No, he's doing very well.
He's eating fine. That's because Maduro's plan was that Maduro do well. And he did. And he has.
So far, until hopefully right. things turn against him.
At some point or another, they're going to string him up and put his head on top of a streetlight.
Yeah, you know, I don't want violence to occur, but...
This is how it happens. Hungry people kill their politicians.
Yeah, I won't be surprised when that day comes, and I won't be sad for it either.
Right.
You know, we lose another politician.
France
is
the only country I've seen that has the guts to get out and protest before they're hungry.
Yeah, I haven't been following real close over there. I did hear that Will Coley over on the Call to Freedom said that apparently the protests in France are now spreading, meaning they're going outside of France.
Belgium and stuff like that. Yeah. They're going further.
So if you want to comment here, you're welcome to join us. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. And weren't they
protesting? That being said, I guess many of the Jasmine Spring or whatever it was called, many of those countries, they weren't really hungry. They were just oppressed by dictatorial governments.
Now, aren't the French people mad about gas tax?
Yeah, gas tax for global warming gas tax.
Huh. That's interesting. Over in Venezuela, it's getting harder to protest because you don't have any energy because you haven't been eating very well or very much at all. The statistics here add weight to the growing international concern over the economic and humanitarian crisis caused in large part by the failed socialist revolution enacted under late dictator Hugo Chavez and continued today under Nicolas Maduro. Many leading figures are calling for a humanitarian or military-based intervention to end the crisis, although all relevant powers have so far pulled back the idea. The regime continues to deny the existence of a crisis. Maduro recently declared at the UN General Assembly that his country is...
just fine?
Stronger than ever.
Okay.
And blamed any visible difficulties on the supposed economic war led by the United States.
It's always the United States. Like, and there's no doubt there's a boycott going on from the U.S. But if it was lifted, I don't support the boycott.
Sanctions.
Sanctions, whatever. I don't see any particular reason for it to be there. But if it was listed, what are they going to buy? What are they going to pay for it with?
What are who going to pay for
okay,
what with?
So here's a big, a big ship full of medical supplies, food, and whatever.
Yeah.
All you have to do is give us $1 million for the stuff that's in here.
They don't have it.
Maybe $10 million or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
here's
the bolivars that exchange 10 to 1. Wait a second. Bolivars don't exchange 10 to 1. They exchange like... 100 million to 1.
It was that way until they knocked 5 zeros off of their currency back in August.
And we're not accepting any bolivars. You got to have real money. We'll take gold. We'll take U.S. dollars. We'll take bearer bonds. We'll take real cryptocurrency, not the thing that Maduro made. Any other cryptocurrency that's real money.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and do that, and then we'll give you the stuff. And what they'd have to do is they'd have to just climb the side of the ship to get the food because there's no way they can cut. There's no money. No money.
So right now, just to give you an update, Mark, the current black market exchange rate for the new Bolivar Soberano, the sovereign Bolivar.
Right. Because we just had the Bolivar Fuerte, which, of course, replaced sometime before that, the Bolivar.
Yeah. This one is at 550 to 1, meaning you would get, if you had a dollar, U.S. dollar, and you went to a bank in Venezuela, or no, excuse me, this is a black market rate, you would get 550 of the Bolivar for one U.S. dollar on the black market.
Right, because the bank you'd
the
get like...
bank rate is, I think, 152 to 1.
Right, but nobody's taking a dollar to a bank to get 152 Bolivars because they can do better on
in
the street.
Black market, correct.
But then again, on the black market, you're liable to die trying to exchange them. So that it's just, it's a terrible place to be.
There's more coming up here. Your calls and thoughts. We'll talk about the bands of children, dirty, filthy, gaunt children, according to Bloomberg, roaming the streets in Caracas. And you can share your thoughts with us. This is Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Talking about one of the worst examples of authoritarian governments on the planet, the Venezuelan socialist experiment, which, of course, as socialism tends to do, has resulted in people being hungry. In fact, according to Human Rights Watch, 80% of Venezuelans are now considered short of food. There are Venezuelans on average are losing significant weight. 2017, the average person lost 24 pounds. In 2016, the average person lost 19 pounds. We don't have the numbers yet for 2018, but this is not a good trend.
It's the end of the
year. Yeah, this is not a good trend. So that's where we started the story. But there's more, including an update on the Petro, which is something that it's been, maybe a month or two since we've talked about the Petro here.
Yeah.
The Venezuelan so-called cryptocurrency, which is basically doesn't really seem to exist at this point or at any point. We'll tell you more about what's going on with that. And speaking of cryptocurrency, we here at Free Talk Live are brought to you by Bitcoin.com. So if you want to learn about crypto, it's a good time to do it right now. It's on sale. Bitcoin is down significantly in price compared to what it was just 1 month ago. It was around $6,500 per Bitcoin a month ago. It's now at around $3,400,
yep.
$3,300 per Bitcoin. So you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin, by the way. This is the number one most confusing part is people figure, well, I'm going to have a whole Bitcoin. Can't afford it. No. You can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin.
Yeah,
it's not a problem.
By a fraction, you mean like up to as small as a 10 millionth.
In theory, if you could buy something that small, yes.
Yes.
With U.S. dollars.
Just saying that if you wanted to put $100, if you wanted to put $10 in Bitcoin,
that.
You can put it in, you can do that.
Yep.
If you want to put it in, you don't want to put $100, that's fine. $1,000, that's fine. You know, $10,000, that's
whatever
fine.
Whatever you want to do.
Whatever.
Exactly. So go to Bitcoin.com. And you can learn more about Bitcoin there. In fact, they've got the Bitcoin.com Academy, which is a great place to go and get started. And they've got news headlines and useful tools. You can even buy your first Bitcoin through Bitcoin.com. So once again, it's Bitcoin.com. As we go back to the starvation story, though, we told you about the 80% of Venezuelans now considered short on food. What does that actually look like? Right? Because you can look at statistics and you can see, oh, well, losing 24 pounds in a year would not be good for most people, especially right. after just losing 19 pounds the previous year on average. So here's a story that actually was published today over at Bloomberg Quint. Editors note there are a few places as chaotic or dangerous as Venezuela. Life in Caracas is a series of short stories that seeks to capture the surreal quality of living in a land of total disarray. Most weekend mornings, you can find Andrea and her cousins juggling on a street corner. She'll be throwing limes up in the air and catching them just in time to dash over to idling cars before the light turns green. Early on this Saturday, only a handful of motorists rolled down their windows. Most shook their heads, mouthing, "No tengo mi amor." I can't spare anything, honey. She kept her collections in a pink plastic purse, 24 bolivar, less than a penny, and a packet of strawberry-flavored wafers. By 11 a.m., that was all she'd had to eat. Andrea is 9. Her father is dead. And her mother is pregnant. Can you imagine being pregnant in a situation where you can't get food easily, let alone medical care?
Right.
She's also jobless, her mom, and many miles away in a small town south of Caracas called Yare. Andrea and her cousins, Dispeth, age 12, Jocelyn, 11, and Andres and Jose, both 8, come in by bus and subway on Fridays, sleeping for 2 or 3 nights on the streets of one of the world's most treacherous cities. Their weekend jobs are to beg for food for themselves, abating the hunger that dogs them during the week, and for more money.
Begging hungry people for food.
Correct.
More or less.
And for more money to bring back to their struggling families. Sometimes Andrea manages to collect as much as 50 bolivar.
Which is 2 cents?
2 cents. Street children have long been a cause for concern in Venezuela.
I'm wondering about juggling these limes. I mean, limes have a few calories in them. She tried selling the limes? maybe?
Their numbers have ebbed and flowed.
Or is it just, it's a better object to juggle than anything else she could get? I mean, you can't eat a beanbag.
That's true. That's a good point. But can you find a beanbag?
I don't know. I
imagine the juggling shop closed a long time ago.
You would think that there'd be a lot of junk lying around, even in some kind of dystopian wasteland.
There is a lot of trash.
Right. Venezuela still had toys at one point. I mean, admittedly, probably very few people are shipping toys in now, but they probably existed.
So street children have long been a cause for concern in Venezuela. Their numbers have ebbed and flowed with the economy, but it's never before been like this. Never before with so many young kids on their own all over the city. They are seemingly everywhere, weighing vegetables at market stands, carrying crates of sodas into diners, cleaning parked cars, begging outside of grocery stores, waved away from bars and restaurants.
Sounds like they're working.
Everybody's got to work. You know, this ain't like the United States where kids get to stay home and, you know, play video games all day. Here, if you want to eat, everybody's got to go out and find something. So begging outside grocery stores, being waved away from bars and restaurants where guards don't want them bothering their clientele. Many toil as cloreros, hawking diluted bleach or cloro poured into water jugs. Sometimes barefoot, often emaciated. Many roam in groups.
Is this to make water drinkable? Like you take the chloro and you put a little bit into some water and then the bleach
idea.
In it?
I'm not sure why you would want to buy diluted bleach. That's a good question.
Right? I don't know either. Wash your hands so you don't get AIDS is the only thing I've ever used it for.
Sometimes barefoot, often emaciated. Many roam in groups for protection, inviting sideways glances and purse clutching. Mostly, though, they're treated with compassion, as nearly all Caraqueños can see themselves reflected in their misery.
Yeah.
That Saturday, their stomachs growling, the band from Yare cut the line.
Right. And the clutching their purse situation, I mean, imagine for a second you had, I don't know how many boulevards this is, 1,000 boulevards, which is, how much is that?
Not much.
Yeah, 10 cents or whatever. You've got this amount of money. You're going to give 100 boulevards to the famished children. Well, there's 10 of them over there.
I think they're using the old Boulevard Fuerte numbers. I don't think they're using the current numbers, because if you look at Dollar today, it says here, oh, yeah, I guess 1,000 boulevards would be about $2.
Okay. So you got $2, yeah. Right? And you're going to, but you can spare 900 boulevards to get you the bread and cheese or whatever that's going to get your family through the day. And you've got 100 to give away, and you're going to give 100 away to these kids. These, 8, 10, 12 kids that are out there, you pull out this 1,000 boulevards to peel off 100 boulevards and give it to them.
They're going
to
go crazy.
You're liable not to get a hand back. All your money, everything's gone. I'm not saying that it's true. I don't know, but it'd be scary.
We'll tell you a little bit more about the story coming up here in moments, what it's like to be in the streets of Caracas. The toll-free number, if you want to join us here, comment. Or bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. It's 855-450-3733. And we'll catch you up on the latest on the Petro, the mythical cryptocurrency from Venezuela.
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialists at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Take control of the airwaves here. We've been talking about the latest out of Venezuela, which, of course, is more human suffering as people are hungry. They've been hungry, and hungry people who are malnourished lose weight. There's significant weight loss that's been going on there over the last couple few years, and it just does appear to be getting worse. With now 80%, according to Human Rights Watch, of Venezuelans considered short on food. And the previous year in 2017, a bunch of people lost weight. The average Venezuelan lost 24 pounds off their body in just that year. It's Ina Mark in the studio here with you. I do want to let you know about Liberty.menu. It is a tool for your community no matter where you are in the world. It's an international website, which is basically essentially a libertarian business directory. If you are an individual who rejects the initiation of force and agrees to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle, then get on over to Liberty.menu and add the things that you do to the map there. Maybe you offer a product or service in a local area, or maybe you're looking for clients across the globe. There's people that can bring you some new business potentially, but you got to be on the site. And it's free to do it, so there's really no reason not to, unless you don't want people to know that you're a libertarian-owned business. So go to Liberty.menu and get yourself up there. Also, if you are a digital content creator or an events organizer, you can list your things there too. And it's free. So Liberty.menu, you can use code FTL on your profile and get a special Free Talk Live listener badge. Talking a little bit here about one of the series of interesting stories. I think we've shared one previously from this series. It's their Life in Caracas series over at Bloomberg about just, you know, it's one thing to hear the statistics. It's another thing to hear the stories and to, you know, look into somebody's life and what it's like there with, in this case, children on the streets as young as 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, begging in the streets, which, you know, they say it's been a problem for a while in Venezuela, but it's worse now than it has ever been. In fact, according to the story here, this recent Saturday, the band from Yare cut the line outside a Catholic church, serving a special holiday lunch to the needy. They each got a new toy. Andrea carefully placing a doll in a checkered dress on her lap. Afterward, they bathed at a square near a shopping mall, scooping up dirty water from a pool and pouring it over their heads, giggling as they chased each other around in their underwear.
While I'm glad that you know kids are so resilient, but it's sad.
While their clothes dried, they spent time underneath a bridge covered in graffiti, playing with knickknacks they'd found, an old keyboard, and a bag of tennis shoelaces. They ignored the trash and feces. At one point, they fought over a plastic bag of the food they'd accumulated, a container of chocolate icing from a bakery, and a couple of slices of stale bread. They dipped their hands into the icing and licked their fingers. Later on, they'll walk to a residential neighborhood to find a quiet place to sleep. If she gets cold, she hugs herself like this, Andrea said as she demonstrated, crossing her arms over her bony shoulders. She favored her right wrist, which she injured a few months ago. Unlike some of her cousins, Andrea goes to school where she's home during the week. Her favorite class is Spanish. Her least favorite is math. She has her future planned. She says, I want to be a lawyer. That way I can help my cousins when they're taken to prison.
Jeez, what the hell are they going to be taken to prison for? I guess just being poor? Kids on the street?
Yeah, I mean, it's still probably illegal to steal stuff, and I imagine poor people are more likely to steal things.
Kids who are hungry are very likely to steal things.
Yeah. So there's a little slice of what some people would call life in Caracas there. It's pretty awful.
What do you think? How would Maduro, how could he turn this around if he wanted to?
Leave and abolish the state.
Well, do you think abolishing the state really is an answer at this point? I mean,
if you want to turn it around.
Wouldn't abolition of the state just get blamed for whatever's going on there at that point?
Well, some people would certainly blame that, but I mean, obviously it's bad right now. So
and then all these foreign powers come in and keep on knocking down whatever organizational models keep on that spring up.
You mean like Somalia, where they keep trying to impose some kind of
the state collapsed in
state.
Somalia because it was knocked down by UN NATO countries, and every time one of these warlords manages to, as they're called, right? Like, I don't know what warlord means exactly.
Well, if you're asking what they can do while the state still exists, because ending the state, of course, is the best way to return to a true free market. I mean, then people could do whatever it is they want to do without having to ask permission.
They have no resources. What are they going to exchange?
Well, they still have the ability to work. So there are always resources.
They're working for nothing.
There's natural resources, and you combine your labor and your brain
power.
It'll
take a little while to build that up. I mean,
Rome wasn't built in a day.
How do you get money to rush in? So they
allowing business would be a nice first step because, you know, right now, if you're in business, you got to follow all the stupid government rules.
Here's what's going to happen. Maduro's going to get desperate. He's going to sell off the state-run oil company to BP, Texaco, whatever. Okay. And then you're going to have
he'll get an influx of cash.
Then capitalism will then be blamed because look, now this is modern day feudalism, and here we go in the cycle again.
So you think he'll sell the state-run oil company and then do what?
Take the money, pretend to do things with it.
Mm-hmm. And then when things keep getting worse, they can blame the oil company?
Well, that's immediately what everybody's going to do. Nobody wants to ever blame the government, right? Now, it's okay to blame other people's governments, so the Americans are more likely to blame Maduro, but they're not going to blame, their own government for truly messing things up. Those Venezuelans aren't going to... We talked to Venezuelans in Acapulco last year. People who are working in the cryptocurrency marketplace should understand money to some extent.
They should.
And they blamed, did they not? They blamed the website out of Alabama that tracks...
I couldn't believe it. Yep.
That tracks the value of the bolivar instead of blaming Maduro.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's just really bad to blame Maduro because, I don't know,
he still has his flunkies, He still has his fans, whoever they are.
It sounds like they're hungry, too.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
You get the government you deserve. And
do you, though?
Yeah, you do.
Well, I mean, that's a flippant saying, but I don't know if it's necessarily true. I think as a collective statement, you could say that, but I don't think individuals get the government.
Not individuals, but that's, sorry. If the governments aren't run by individuals. Yeah. It's a collective thing.
So you asked what you could do to turn this around. And I would say, of course, my pat answer is end the government. But if you're talking about what can you do while still having a government to turn it around.
I think ending the government would probably be disastrous, too. There's no good solution here.
Letting the marketplace operate is the solution. That's how you fix the problems in the world. Because
it's not going to fix it quickly.
Well, it's not going to – nothing's perfect, Mark. I mean, things
take time.
There's
no ownership. They don't even have property rights, okay? You can't.
That's what I'm saying. That needs to happen.
You can't have, just say, okay, well, good luck. One of the things that
you can, because people will figure things out. And
they will.
Make it happen.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of starvation, and they'll just start the whole process over again. They're starting at caveman level. I believe you have to pass through the state in order to get to freedom. Mm-hmm. That you have to have, at the very least, there has to be some organization that's saying this piece of property owns to this person, this piece of property goes, and because if you don't have ownership, if it isn't distinguished, then you just have a mess.
Right, which is why I'm saying if you get the state out of the way, the market can actually return to operation because nobody wants to operate a business in Venezuela, especially not an international corporation, because then the government's going to come in and steal your stuff from you.
Yep.
So if you've been paying attention in Venezuela, you know that the Venezuelan government has nationalized hundreds and hundreds of companies over there and run them into the ground, ultimately losing money on 70%+ of the nationalized industries that they've taken over. So if the government is no longer there to take over people's businesses, then they won't be scared to start a business. They won't be scared to, continue offering services or get back into offering services in that marketplace. If the government isn't there to force their currency down people's throats, then the market can supply the currency, whether that be Bitcoin or Dash or U.S. dollars or whatever it is that comes in there that people want to use, that they choose to use on their own. Whether you need the government or not is another question. There's more coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free to bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. It's 855-450-3733. Also, we've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. Head on over to our Discord server. Get the Discord app. It's free. And then you can connect to discord.lrn.fm and get on there and talk with us on the radio if you want. Otherwise, we'll talk about the stuff we want to talk about. And we've been discussing Venezuela here so far tonight. But on the way, there's more in the news worth discussing. Apparently, Google bailing out on their social network. And also, the Truman Show.
Kind of sad.
The Truman Show. You ever see that one, Mark?
Yeah, I did.
Well, there's an interesting article about it. Apparently, it's now 20 years old, and the Onion's AV Club has a piece about it that I thought was really interesting.
The Onion's AV Club.
Yeah, well, the Onion actually has like a serious side, basically, yeah. where they reviewed,
called the AV Club.
Yeah, they reviewed like, well, audiovisual stuff. So we'll get into all that stuff, but we're talking about Venezuela and the difficulties in life there. We focused on the 80% of people who are now short of food. It's very difficult. And Mark, you point out that even if the government were to disappear tomorrow, it would still take the market a little while to solve these problems, but at least they would get solved by people in search of profits. And I know some people hear that and they think, profits.
Well, we can see what happens when people who aren't talking about profits get involved.
Yeah, well, Nicolas Maduro hates profits, the president of the country.
He doesn't really. You can tell by his waistline. He doesn't hate profit. Like he benefits profit. If we're talking about this being state capitalism, which mm-hmm. many would say, you know, it's just that he lies. It's just lies about sure. what his plans are. So, you know, Nicolas Maduro and his folk, the ilk that run the government, they're not gaunt. No. But the people of Venezuela are.
But my point was going to be about people in search of profits is when you're making a profit in the marketplace, in a true free market, not some sort of government system where they're taking from people by force and then giving the money they take to certain industries like the military industrial complex here in the United States. But when you're actually a free market entity with the ability to create a product or a service and offer that product or service to the marketplace without government coercion involved, then when you make a profit, it's an indicator that you're making people happy,
yep.
that you're giving people a thing they want or a service they're looking for at a price that they're willing to pay for. And that's why you make profits, because you've got happy customers, unless the government's involved. Again, right. if the government gets in, then they can screw everything up and give money to bad business people and all that. So profits aren't evil. There's nothing inherently wrong with making a profit. If there were people able to make profits in Venezuela by opening up their own business, owning private property, as you mentioned, again, whether the government exists or not during all this, these are the things that need to happen. People need to be able to open up a business. People need to be able to have private property and not be afraid that they're going to have the property stolen from them,
yep.
or not be afraid they're going to have the business stolen from them by the government. So the government's the problem here.
They also need to be able to trade outside of Venezuela.
Sure.
So, you know, Venezuela
free market,
is
yes.
destroyed, so you need to be able to trade outside of it.
Right.
And at this point, the United States isn't allowing that to happen with them
mm-hmm.
and probably many of their little friends because Venezuela doesn't capitulate to whatever it is that the embargo or whatever is based on.
Yeah, but that's not the reason they don't have toilet paper.
No. But if they could trade with the United States, if you're going to trade,
it would give them
more
options.
Trade with rich people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you can get toilet paper from a lot of places on
yeah,
the planet.
Sure.
So, I mean, the fact that they don't have these basic items has nothing to do with the fact the United States is putting up sanctions against Venezuela. That's not helping. It's hurting them, no doubt about it, because the fewer options you have with which to trade, the worse off you are. I mean, so having more choices is going to give you better choices, better options, better prices, and all that. So being able to trade freely, being able to open up your business, being able to provide products and services to people without having to pay huge extractions to the government, worry about having your entire business taken from you by the government.
Yep. Because that's the problem. If you do well in Venezuela, they take your business.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Now, why wouldn't they?
And
it's free.
And then they run it into the ground.
Well,
so,
yes, because it's destroying.
Being able to do those things and have a money, a form of money that the people actually want to use.
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe this idea that they have of the petro, the
Venezuelan so-called cryptocurrency.
This cryptocurrency that they're going to create. And
don't call it a cryptocurrency.
Well,
we can talk about why it's not a cryptocurrency
okay.
here in a moment.
Well, they're claiming they're going to create is a stable coin. Right. And we have those in the marketplace, but they're going to back theirs with
oil.
You know, oil. Right. So maybe one petro is equal to a barrel of oil or whatever. And basically they're creating a commodities market so that, countries and companies can buy oil at whatever price they're going to buy it at and come pick it up and, you know, do whatever they're going to do. And that might very well work to, stave off one of the rings of the bell that is ringing for the very death of Venezuela.
So, having a money that you can actually use that people want to use, that's another thing that they need to have. The Venezuelan government has failed miserably at providing any kind of a stable currency. They've hyperinflated the hell out of the bolivar to the point
where... They do that to the petro if they had the opportunity to do that too.
To the point where it has... Well, they can't do anything with the petro because it basically doesn't exist at this point. But they're already adjusting the value of it.
They'd do it. Yep.
Yeah. In fact, that's going to be the news that we're going to get to, is that the value of the petro is being arbitrarily increased now by the president
of
Venezuela.
The imaginary currency that will likely never exist... We have to change the value of it.
That's correct. That's what's happening.
It's crazy later.
And we'll get into that. I do want to talk about the petro, but still I want to kind of answer this question that you had about, well, what is going to turn this around? You've got to have all of these factors. The ability to have money that's not crap.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot legally use the U.S. dollar, as I understand it, in Venezuela. You're not supposed to be going into a legitimate store and pulling out a dollar to pay for something with. Not allowed.
Yeah.
It happens on the black market, of course, because that's where all the real business is being done.
Yeah,
now.
People are trading bolivars for dollars on the black market and then using the bolivars to go buy things. But what are the people who are trading for dollars doing? Buying stuff? Is that how they buy things to bring it in? To
mm-hmm.
get imports?
You have to pay with dollars to get anything brought in, which is why, again, you're short on toilet paper. It's because the toilet paper supplier does not want the bolivar. They want dollars, and good luck finding enough dollars to buy a whole pallet full of toilet paper.
Well, they're doing a lot of smuggling, so people are taking big 5-gallon things of gasoline and hoofing it up over the mountain to whatever the other country is, Colombia. And different countries, and just carrying gasoline in, selling that, getting something for it.
Bringing that back.
And bringing it back.
So, again, the ability to have private property, the ability to start your own business without fear of it being taken over, the ability to use whatever form of money that you want to. Now, luckily, they haven't outlawed people using cryptocurrency because they kind of have to have this we're pro-crypto view now that they have the petro. So there are people who have been adopting things like Dash and Bitcoin as far as accepting cryptos. I just saw a headline that KFC in Venezuela is apparently going to roll out accepting cryptocurrency, Dash, purportedly. I've seen video of somebody paying with Dash at Papa John's Pizza in Caracas.
I've heard that that some of that stuff's overblown, too. I don't know. I mean, that's just what
I've
heard.
That it's overblown, meaning that it's not really happening?
That the market penetration is surface at best.
Well, I mean, that's true in cryptocurrency generally, but there are businesses accepting it. So, I mean, we've got businesses accepting it here in Keene, New Hampshire, but hardly anybody actually spends it. Hardly anybody who actually has cryptocurrency spends their cryptocurrency, and I think that's a huge problem. But in Venezuela, I bet you it's a little bit more common than it is here. That's just my
just
feeling.
A guess.
It's just a guess. I don't know. I would love to hear from somebody who's been there, who's got some sort of an ear to the ground of what the scene is like with cryptocurrency. But my point is, at the very least, you don't have to accept just the bolivar if you're in business, because they haven't gone and rounded up the Papa John's franchisees or whatever, at least that we've heard of, who've been accepting Dash in that country.
Who's ordering pizza from Papa John's? I mean, when 80% of the public...
That's what's surprising to me.
When 80% of the public is losing weight.
Yeah, I don't know.
What did they say? So the average person is losing weight. So that means the average Venezuelan is losing weight, like 50 pounds almost at this point over the course
over
of 3 years.
That's what I don't understand, Mark, is how these chains are even still operating in Venezuela, because we've heard the stories. There's the news stories, and then there's these videos of people going in and actually spending crypto in these businesses, because I've seen it on video, so it must be, true. On the other hand, you get the news stories saying that truckers are getting waylaid on the roads by brigands and having all of their, veggies or whatever it is they got in the back of the truck stolen from them.
Right.
So how the hell is Papa John's, using armed guard trucks to get their product to the store?
I guess the answer to that is yes.
Probably. I mean, that's, again, there's a lot we don't know about exactly how things are working, those things that are working in Venezuela. It's a fascinating and horrifying place here. We got more coming up here. The latest on the petro, the mythological cryptocurrency. Do you operate a retail business and are looking for a solution for point-of-sale cryptocurrency acceptance? It's never been easier thanks to AnyPay.global. There's no paperwork or approval process to open an account. If you already have a tablet at your cash register, you're almost done. Just sign up at AnyPay.global, drop your personal crypto wallet addresses in our setup page, and then load our app. That's it. You're accepting cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Dash at your store. Get started now at anypay.global. That's anypay.global.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Kicking off another hour here of your show where you can take control of the airwaves, bring up on anything that is on your mind. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
We've been discussing Venezuela and started out the show talking about 80% of Venezuelans, according to Human Rights Watch, are now short of food. And this is a situation that has been developing, not quickly, but slowly over a period of years. It's been getting worse and worse because, well, socialism ends up driving the producers out of the marketplace and makes it so that when they take over and nationalize industries, as they've done in Venezuela, and run them into the ground, well, turns out nobody wants to invest in a place like that. And the existing business owners that were there are scared to death of having their businesses stolen from them. Even if they're still in business, it gets very complicated to do any kind of business in a place where the government is hyperinflating the currency to the point of beyond belief. I mean, it's the weakest government currency on the planet. It's pathetic. The Venezuelan Bolivar, which has now been it's on its third iteration. It was the Bolivar, then became the Bolivar Fuerte, or the strong Bolivar, which was, I don't know, a decade or so ago. And then just this year, they made it into the Bolivar Soberano, or the sovereign Bolivar, by knocking five whole zeros off of the currency.
Yeah, it's in a death spiral, and it's unlikely anything's going to stop it.
If only the currency itself were the only thing that were dying, then it wouldn't be so bad. But the people are also dying very slowly.
That happens.
From malnutrition.
A currency that has value is important. It's integral to having a successful economy.
Yeah, and the economy is in dismal shape over there. But they have a solution, Mark. Don't worry.
Excellent.
Presidente Nicolas Maduro, he has a cryptocurrency that he's been talking about now for almost an entire year. Remember, it was February of 2018.
I could go make a cryptocurrency right now.
Well, you at the very least know the people who you could talk to make one,
but
you probably would have.
I'll bet you
time.
I could search on the internet and find make your own cryptocurrency. And there, I mean, Charlie Lee did it within a couple of hours to create Litecoin.
Well, sure, but he's a programmer, so he knows what he's doing when it comes to programming.
Agreed, but I probably could put something together. Give me 3 days.
At the very least, you can talk to the right people to make it happen.
That much
is
true.
There's no doubt about that. And because ultimately all the cryptos out there, almost all of them are copies of Bitcoin where they've been modified in some way. So it's not like you have to start from scratch with making your own cryptocurrency. Some of them have. Monero, for instance, they started from scratch. But most of them, they just copied Bitcoin and tweaked a few things here and there.
Right. And what Maduro proposes to do is something closer to an ERC-20, what they call a stable coin, something that's backed by, a cryptocurrency that's backed by something rather than just people being excited about it.
That's the proposal. Here's the story of the latest on the so-called cryptocurrency known as the Petro. BTCWires.com reporting Venezuela's native cryptocurrency, Petro's price, has been increased from 3,600 sovereign bolivars to 9,000 sovereign bolivars. The country's president announced on national television this Thursday.
That's not really that's just acknowledging that the sovereign bolivar has decreased in value.
That's correct. That's exactly what that's acknowledging. The wallet for the Petro still hasn't been made available.
Yeah.
But the Venezuelan government is still trading the currency nonetheless. Wait, what?
How can they trade it?
They get into that here.
Okay.
President Nicolas Maduro's announcement confirmed that the price hike has been active since Friday. The announcement was made in the same breath as the 150% wage hike for workers in the country. This was the sixth wage hike this year. Hey, they're raising the minimum wage six times. These people must be super wealthy now.
Yeah, everything's going great.
Oh, no, they're not.
No.
They're not wealthy at all. In fact, they can't even find food. And, you know, with what little money they even have, it's hard to get, even if you can find food, it's hard to actually buy any. This was a sixth wage hike, echoing the severe hyperinflation that the country's been going through, reaching an inflation rate of over 27,000% at one point this year, according to Forbes. In August of this year, Maduro had announced the price of the petro would be set against Venezuela's primary currency, the sovereign bolivar, which, again, wasn't the primary currency until August when they introduced it and knocked five zeros off the Bolivar Fuerte. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, each petro, as the anchor point of the sovereign bolivar, will have a value of 3,600 BSS, which is hilarious that it's BS for their for their country's currency. Venezuelan economists,
nobody told them about that,
are reacting negatively following the president's announcement Thursday. The petro was initially priced at 3,600 Bolivar because of its backing against oil prices in the country, but hiking it to 9,000 has only managed to devalue the Bolivar by 100%, say the experts. Venezuelan economist Leonardo Bunyak explained the petro could not be legitimately called a cryptocurrency because its value isn't set by market forces, but by the president himself.
Yeah.
So that's one reason you can't call it a cryptocurrency, but there's more than that.
I'm not sure that that would, you know, crypto means that it's secured by cryptography.
Cryptography, which we don't know if it is because there's no source code available.
No,
it's not an open
correct.
Source project. You can't even download a wallet for it yet, let alone look at the source code.
Right,
of
where's
this
the blockchain,
thing.
Pal?
There's no such thing with this. We don't know anything about this. It's a year in, basically, at this point, to this so-called petro, and no one's ever gotten it. No one's ever laid their digital hands on one of these petros. It has never sat in the cryptocurrency wallet of a human being on the planet that we know of. But yet they still claim that they'll sell you one. So how exactly does that work? We'll get into it here. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. So yeah, it's not a cryptocurrency because it's not cryptographically secure. Because we don't know what it is. We don't know what security there is. We have no idea what if it even exists. And it's not traded on the market. So we don't have market values. Therefore, not a cryptocurrency. To add insult to injury, the wallet app for the petro has been removed by Google from the Google Play Store, as stated by the country's economic minister and ex-vice president Tarek El Assami. Additionally, the Windows and Linux versions of the wallet
are... You could distribute an app on a website if you want, right?
That's what they're about to tell you about right now.
Okay.
The Windows and Linux versions of the wallet are still unavailable, and the links to download them only show a pop-up message saying...
You could distribute an Android app on a website.
You can do that, too. That's
right.
Correct. You have to download an APK file for
that. Wait a second. I know what this is. This is a big, fat, stupid lie.
Yeah.
Google didn't remove this from the App Store because if you wanted to distribute this, they may have. I can't prove that statement isn't true. It's just unlikely because only a mouth-breathing dullard would distribute a technology only through Google. I mean, if you wanted to distribute this, just put it on a website and people can go get it.
They have something to distribute.
Your own friggin' country, dude. If you wanted, you actually had this technology that was available, people would go to a website to get the APK file.
Now, I remember seeing their website this summer and commenting that it's a good looking site. They finally got a decent looking, modern, like a surprisingly good looking website for a government.
They went to like Squarespace or something?
I don't know, but it looks nice. And
Wix.
Apparently, if you actually go and try to download said wallet from their website, according to the report here at btcwires.com, there's a pop-up message that comes up saying, this wallet will soon be available for your operating system. Well, when is soon exactly?
Whenever they want it to be.
The code for the petro is also unavailable, and thus its existence or functionality cannot be verified independently, adding further speculation. Charts or data showing functionality and performance of the currency have also not been published by verifiable sources.
Yeah.
Although the petro lacks legitimacy as a cryptocurrency, Venezuela's regulator in charge of all crypto activities, Sunacrip has been...
Get ready for the manure, folks.
Here you go, Mark. Sunacrip has been selling the digital currency at its headquarters since October. The buyers are being issued certificates of purchase after going through a know-your-customer process, which includes biometric scans. So you get a paper certificate claiming that you own a Petro, which is supposed to be a cryptocurrency.
It's crazy.
It's insane. More on the way here, 855-450, free like freedom. You can join us on the radio. And this is Free Talk Live. Talk Live. Dial on in here, toll free. You can bring up anything you want. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
I'll tell you about the Venezuelan Petro, the so-called cryptocurrency supposedly being issued by Venezuela. When? Well, according to this news story from Cointelegraph, published in October of this year, Nicolas Maduro claimed they were going to start a public sale of the Petro on November 5th. I must have missed that one.
Yeah.
In fact, I guess everybody missed it because so far there is no Petro. There's no wallet for the Petro that's available. Their website, which looks good. I mean, they hired somebody to do a good website. Yep. You try to download the wallet, says, no say. no tengo. So they don't have it. And when will it exist? Well, we don't know. We can tell you a little bit more about it here. But I also want to make sure you know about a country that is doing much better economically than Venezuela, and that is Mexico. Acapulco, in fact, is where we're going to be in February. So we're actually just over 2 months away from...
It's getting close.
Anarchapulco 2019.
And those tickets are selling, and you got to get them now.
Yeah, February 14th through the 17th. Do not wait on this, or else you may end up, well, being on the out, because it's going to be sold out likely at some point here very soon, would be my guess. Because it was sold out this year, and they're bringing Ron Paul back. And if you want to pretty much guarantee a sold-out event, just bring Ron Paul. That's pretty much all you need.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of other great speakers that are going to be there. Judge Andrew Napolitano, Larkin Rose, David Icke, literally dozens. Our very own Vin Armani is going to be there. Dozens and dozens and dozens of speakers, multiple stages. There's going to be
emceeing one of them.
You're going to be emceeing the Cryptopolco stage, which will be all throughout the February 14th through the 17th. It's going to be a great event. They'll be discussing everything from investments, entrepreneurship, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyles, and personal relationships for 4 days among the sun and beaches of a world-class resort in beautiful Acapulco. And we will be broadcasting from the event. We'll look forward to seeing you there. Go to anarchapulco.com. Use code FTL, like Free Talk Live, to get your tickets at a discount. That's anarchapulco.com with code FTL. Like Free Talk Live. Let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Yes. So the New Mexico, we're number second now in the nation with the most children auto crashes.
Most children dying in automobile accidents.
Second most.
Yeah. Mississippi, once again, took the cake. Mm. They're the number one. At least we're better than Mississippi, you know, for many, many, on many categories. It's a 2016 stat. I think that's the latest one. And it's accounting like from 1-year-old to 14-year-old. And I guess it's per population. So it compared to other states, we have like twice as much more children killed in auto crashes than most other states.
Why do you think that is?
So,
assuming it's true.
Well, you know, I have a feeling that, you know, we have these laws, but hardly nobody ever follows it. Like littering law, like dog poop law, dog leash law.
Yeah.
These kind of laws that it's an ordinance, but nobody follows. So, you know, the car seat law. And then, like, you know, they have these little seats for the little children it has to be for the right age and for the right weight.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, here is anything goes, you know, it's just, do you think, how many parents
you think
are that
that's different? You think it's different in New Mexico that people follow laws in other states like the dog laws and the speeding laws?
Well, I'm speculating. It's people are more careful when they say that if they're 3 years old, they need a seat this big, and you buckle it like this. They I think there's more enforcement and there's more education.
You think there's more enforcement and more education of these little laws in other places than they have in New Mexico? You have no actual evidence for the claim, but you believe that, well, there must be more enforcement in the other states. That's why things are the way they are in New Mexico.
Well, I mean, my speculation is that, there's a dog leash law. You're supposed to have dogs on the
pretty much every town's got that law.
Yeah, probably not in New Mexico. Maybe in the city of Albuquerque, but it's unlikely the state of New Mexico has put up a dog leash law.
Yeah, it probably is a city ordinance. Yeah,
but you're responsible for your dog.
How many dogs have almost chewed me or bit me and running for my life? Okay,
I don't know.
I've encountered 20 dogs because the law is never enforced, and the same thing goes for the child seat. They just strap up, they, you know, throw them in the back seat any old way, and they're tiny, 20 pounds, 30 pounds. And then when they get into a wreck, that's it. They just fly out of the
window. The kid just flies. Yeah, sure, sure. If that's actually what's happening, then that's very dangerous, and you can understand why people would come up with these laws to try to mandate. But you're right, Sarah. People do ignore laws all the time. They break laws constantly. It's not just something that's unique to New Mexico. It's common for people because laws get in the way in a lot of cases, and they're annoying and pesty. And I'm not saying that people should not be restraining their children in their cars. I'm just talking to you about how people tend to be. They do what's convenient for them for the most part, if they think they're not going to get caught. If they think they're going to get caught, then it's
convenient to do whatever it is to do. Yeah.
And they'll do that. Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Why is New Mexico number two in child deaths in cars? I don't know.
Well, you're presuming it is.
Well, you're right. We're taking her word for it.
Don't do that.
Most of the time, she's been wrong in the past. That's certainly
often.
But she's more recently, she's been bringing us like legitimate news stories.
Maybe she checks them on the internet at the library before she comes home. Because she doesn't have the internet at home.
Well, you can check all you want on the internet, but you can't find the Petro, the Venezuelan Petro. Good luck. Maduro, according to this, again, I'm just to give, you know, because we haven't really talked about the Petro in a little bit, so I'm going back here. Let's look at some of the promises that were made. This was in October of this year. Again, after months and months of them supposedly about to release the Petro, he went on national television, Nicolas Maduro, to announce the official launch of the Petro, according to a summary of his speech posted on their government website on Monday, October 1st. He stated the official website has been launched. That much is true. They have a website. It is petro.gov.ve. That's the website. You can't really do anything with a website. You can download the white paper, which they forgot to update, if you recall, when they first started it. It was going to be an ERC-20 token, yeah. But then they changed it to some other kind of token on some other blockchain in the last minute, and they forgot to update their white paper. Maduro stressed the Petro will be available on 6 major crypto exchanges.
Awesome.
Starting Monday, October 1st.
October 1st.
Yeah.
2018?
Great point. I don't know. The Venezuelan president didn't specify which exchanges will eventually trade the so-called oil-backed currency, nor was it listed by the largest traders, according to CoinMarketCap, such as Binance.
Because it's a lie.
Or others, right? In addition, the Venezuelan president has stated that all of the oil purchases in and out of the country must now be paid with the Petro.
Yeah,
so that basically,
that's a lie, too.
So, yeah, if they're only accepting the Petro for oil purchases, does that mean that no one's buying oil from Venezuela?
No, they're just going through the process of buying the Petro, getting these pieces of paper, and taking their oil.
Right, because they're now issuing Petro certificates, paper certificates. More coming up.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial in toll free to bring up whatever you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got the Discord, discord.lrn.fm. You can join one of the Discord on-air call-in line rooms and get on the air with us. We're talking about the Petro. What is it? Well, no one's really quite sure.
It's imaginary.
Including the Venezuelan government, according to various different reports here, we've been kind of catching up, because I think the last time we talked about it was probably in August or September. They claimed in October that they would be offering the Petro for a public sale on November 5th, where apparently that's actually that. It appears to mean that they're selling paper certificates as though that's the Petro.
Yeah, the equivalent of a promissory note.
Like, one day we'll really have a cryptocurrency and we'll really give you this Petro, but for now, here's a certificate.
Yeah, and a company that wanted to put together something like this would have it done in a week.
For sure. Well, I mean, government, right? This is the way government works, or barely works.
I don't know that they want to do it.
Making a lot of promises. Well, they want money, right? Like, they definitely want money to come in. And initially in February, the idea was they were going to do a pre-sale, kind of a crowd sale thing to kick it off. That didn't work.
To some extent, they to do this right, they need to have an accounting system that tracks a barrel to a given Petro or that sort of thing, right? So it's one thing to just say, here's a piece of paper that says that you'll get one barrel of oil.
They're doing that, apparently.
They're doing that. That's one thing. The second level of this would be, here's a cryptocurrency-designated token that's good for one barrel of oil that you can trade with friends, and here's the wallet and all that stuff. So that's another level.
Haven't done that one yet.
No. And the third level of it is, this cryptocurrency is tied, this particular unit is tied to this particular barrel that already exists and is accounted for with a barcode that has been scanned. And that
they're
you
not going to do that.
You can go pick this up. It is available in Caracas, or I don't know, that's the only town in the only place in Venezuela
city,
I can name, and off the top of my head. And you can go pick it up there. It's sitting on the tarmac. Go get it. Now, that's a different story.
They're not going to do that ever.
No.
And it doesn't appear they're really going to get much of this done. And they're certainly not going to – they are definitely not going to restrict their issuances of these certificates.
To reality.
Right. They're going to sell you a certificate if you want to buy a certificate.
Yeah. And you'll always be able to get a certificate.
When you show up to get your barrel of oil – that may or may not be there.
It's like buying futures for gold or silver. It doesn't exist. I mean, there's supposedly 10 times as much paper out there as there is metal.
And if the government all of a sudden, let's say that you show up with your Petro certificate to get your barrel, you've got your truck, you know, you pull up to the wherever it is that they're keeping the oil ostensibly, and you show them your certificate. There's nothing whatsoever that will prevent them from saying, oh, yeah, that was good for a barrel of oil, but now it's only good for a half a barrel of oil.
Yeah, sorry.
We're sorry about that. You're going to need two Petros in order to get a full barrel of oil, and we can't give you half a barrel of oil, so you're going to have to come up with another Petro.
Yeah.
So they can completely arbitrarily, you know, he just raised the price of the Petro from 3,600 Sovereign Bolivars to 9,000 just recently.
I think it's more accurate in that case. That's just more aligned to the U.S. dollar. I mean, I would like to know how much a barrel of oil has changed versus the dollar valuation of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. That's how I want to know. He's changed the amount because the Bolivar itself is fantasy, and so he's trying to bring the fantasy more into line with reality. But you know, the dollar value of a barrel of oil fluctuates on a daily basis, goes up and down, and you can change that at mercantile exchanges. I know specifically the commodities exchanges, specifically the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and. It also, you know, it's valued in dollars, which of course continue to stay relatively stable compared to the Bolivar. So there's a lot of complications in saying that this is that he's just devalued it. I mean, he hasn't really. I mean, in reality, the Bolivar itself devalued.
Well, guess what? They've already changed the rules on what a Petro is being backed by.
Okay.
According to this article, which came out on October 2nd, right after Maduro made a speech promising they were going to start selling these things on November 5th, they've updated the white paper on the Petro. According to the story here, their new white paper states that the Petro is now backed 50% by oil, 20% by gold, 20% by iron, and 10% by diamond assets.
Okay, that's stupid. just make other cryptocurrencies that are tradable, because the people that are buying the Petro right now... Well, they are. They're buying this
promissory. In theory, there's these pieces of paper.
Right. What they're doing is they're driving demand for the Petro by forcing people to go through this little hat trick where they say, all right, you want to buy some barrels of oil? Not a problem. First, you have to buy these Petros, these promissory notes for Petros, then exchange the promissory notes for the barrels of oil. Mm-hmm. You mean I can't exchange dollars for barrels of oil? No, you can exchange dollars for promissory notes, which you can exchange for barrels of oil. Okay, whatever. So the people who are buying these things are selling them as quickly as they can for the barrels of oil, would be my guess.
According to, Zero Hedge, Petro's official Twitter said the coin can be purchased with Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, and Dash. However, the National Cryptocurrency Association reports the Petro is currently only available for Bitcoin and Litecoin among cryptocurrencies. The government has also assigned a superintendent of crypto assets and related activities, Joselit Ramirez, who is reportedly responsible for handling Petro's customer service issues. Good luck with that. The six crypto exchanges that they had promised have been authorized by the Venezuelan government to trade the coin as of October 16th, as of press time, and this article from Zero Hedge was the 30th of October. None of the exchanges, so 2 weeks after they were supposedly authorized, none of the exchanges is listed among the top 100 crypto exchanges on CoinMarketCap. So these are no-name exchanges that purportedly are authorized to list this thing. Whether they actually are or not at this point is another question. I suspect they are not.
They're listing anything. They're listing something
that doesn't exist.
Right.
Because you can't trade it. You can't hold it. You can't get it.
This is a token that you can exchange for the token.
At the time, Maduro revealed the Petro would be traded on six authorized crypto exchanges, but refrained from naming them. In addition, the Petro wallet was launched the same day from Google Play, but has since been deleted. And again, we still haven't heard exactly what Google's reason was for getting rid of the app. I'd be very interested in knowing that because, you know, Google tends to be a lot more accepting of apps. If you program an app, you can pretty much get it in the Google Play Store for there's no approval process, is what I'm saying.
Well,
so for them to
go
back after the fact and pull something.
This is a news story.
Yeah.
News stories are written by reporters.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever in your life seen a news story that's 100% accurate?
No.
Okay. So the reporter could be taking the word of Maduro or some other Venezuelan politician that we put it on the Google Play Store.
No, it was on the Play Store.
Well, then why?
That's what I'm saying. Why did Google pull it?
No, I don't care about why Google pulled it. I care about why haven't they taken this technology that was available to Google Play Store and just put it as an APK file available on their website, which you say is good. I say it never worked in the first place.
Oh, yeah. I suspect it did not work. That doesn't mean the app wasn't there, right? Like, the app was there. It probably just didn't do anything. So that's my question is, why did Google pull?
They could distribute the app if they want to. They don't need Google.
They could. They absolutely could. You're right about that. But it still doesn't answer my question of why Google pulled the app. I'm just curious if they made any kind of announcement or if there was anything out there about, you know, the reasoning for that. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. I mean, did it have a virus in it? You know, like, what was the reason?
Did the United States government tell them they had to?
That could be. 855-450-3733. I think that's the latest on the Petro. You can bring up anything that's on your mind. Coming up here on Free Talk Live, the Department of Homeland Security targeting... Dial toll free and bring up anything that you want. Our toll free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Somebody in our Twitch chat saying they're in the Discord queue. No, you're not. Or at least if you were, I'm sorry I didn't see you. You got to stay there and be patient. We will spot you eventually in the Discord. So go to discord.lrn.fm. You can jump into one of our on-air call-in line rooms there, and then we will see you there. And if we don't see you, you can, you know, basically try to get our attention in the chat room on Discord, the on-air now room, and we will notice you at some point. And sometimes our other chatters will let us know, hey, somebody's in the call-in room. So we'll get there.
We're doing a radio program.
And we'll get you right, and we'll get you on the air about whatever you want to talk about. Now, we have been talking about the so-called cryptocurrency known as the Petro, which doesn't appear to exist in any kind of form outside of apparently paper certificates that they are issuing from whatever the headquarters of this. They've teamed up with some sort of company, or I don't know if it's a bureaucracy, part of the government bureaucracy there, but there's somebody that's putting wannabe buyers of the Petro through a know your customer process, getting biometric data off of them, so probably, you know, a retina scan or fingerprints or whatever, all of the above, stool sample, you know, whatever it is you got to give up, and then they're giving you one of these so-called Petro certificates, and ostensibly they claim they're going to be launching an actual currency at some point, but it's been almost a year now, and the real deal has yet to actually come to fruition. So there's not much else to say about it at the moment, but we'll keep our eyes on the developments. And as laughable, and it would be hilarious if it weren't such a dire situation over there. Like if it was Trump trying to launch a cryptocurrency, at least people aren't starving in the United States.
Right.
It's less funny in Venezuela, even though it is funny. It's less funny because of the horrors.
I mean, it would probably go as poorly as if he tried to build a wall along the southern border or something.
Right.
You've
got a related story, though, to cryptocurrency.
U.S. Department of Homeland Security is interested in acquiring technology solutions that can track newer cryptocurrencies such as Zcash and Monero. I'll bet they are.
These are, for those that don't know, Monero and Zcash are the two kind of noteworthy top privacy coins out there.
Right.
They're two different privacy technologies. Zcash is the zero knowledge proofs, I believe it is called. That's the style of privacy that tech they have. What that means, I don't know. Monero, they use a Monero they actually designed from scratch, whereas Zcash came out of the Bitcoin protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Monero was called Crypto Note, and I think they use ring signature technology for privacy there. Yeah. But
and
again,
I don't know any of this stuff.
What all that means, I couldn't tell you because I'm not an engineer. However, Monero is the kind of the new kid on the block in the world of the darknet marketplaces. Now, a lot of people might have heard the stories in the news media about the Silk Road. We've talked, of course, extensively about the Silk Road, which was the first underground drug marketplace. And they sold other things besides drugs there. But it was most noteworthy because, you know, there was a lot of drugs for sale on that site. And they ended up, of course, taking the Silk Road down. And back when the Silk Road was created, it was 2011, and all there was Bitcoin at that time. And then Monero came out and made its splash in the cryptocurrency marketplace. And at some point, I don't know which one of them did it first, but at some point, one of the darknet markets, because after the Silk Road got taken down, plenty of others popped up to take its place, one of them announced they were going to accept Monero payments. And since then, more than a few of them, from my understanding, have started to accept Monero payments. There are even vendors who will accept both. You can decide, do you want to buy your whatever it is you want to buy with Bitcoin, or do you want to buy with Monero? Which, of course, Monero is a privacy coin. Bitcoin is not. Bitcoin is completely trackable. Bitcoin is, I think the term is pseudonymous, meaning that the whole blockchain, all of the transactions that have ever happened on Bitcoin are visible. You can go and search through them. You can go and look at each wallet. But you may not know whose wallet is whose.
You're very unlikely to know whose wallet is whose.
Unless somebody tells you what their wallet is, in which case then you know exactly which
one. Bitcoin programmers have gotten better over time. There was a time when we didn't really know everything, and you and I both created vanity addresses,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So you've got one that says FTLEN, I think.
Yeah, I still have it.
Yep. And
even though the person who made it for me could have my private key,
likely, same here.
Yeah.
Likely, if you go through that vanity address and you look at, you know, many hundreds of bitcoins have passed through there.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, it was up for donations. Wasn't that used for the amplifier or the Bitcoin tip jar? Oh, excuse me.
No. It's just my personal wallet.
But there's an address at the Bitcoin tip jar at
It's a newer address. There was an older address that did have a lot that was sent to
it. Right, then you could look at that, and you could track that older address and see that. You could go back on the Internet time machine and find that
which
address.
What it was, yeah,
right.
Sure.
And you could look at it, and you could see all the stuff that's passed through.
And you wouldn't know who was sending it. You would see all of the transactions.
But you would know who had it. And then at that point—
You would know which wallets had it, but you wouldn't know who owned those wallets.
Right. So, but now the technology has changed, mm-hmm. and most wallets, almost all wallets— when you send a transaction to an address, it generates a new address immediately.
True.
And that means that it's getting much, much harder. So maybe you went from one point when, you know, there was 1% of addresses that were known. I'm mm-hmm. just pulling a number out of thin air here. 1% of addresses that were known. And maybe you could extrapolate from that what happened to 10% of transactions. Now you're in the realm where, you know, 1/100 of 1% of addresses are known, and you could extrapolate, you know, far less data out of that. It's gotten much more complicated. Bitcoin isn't anonymous, but it is complicated. And
it is, but the people that know what they're doing can track things through the system either
some
way.
Some things sometimes.
But my point being, the government doesn't want to crack Bitcoin because they don't have to. It's public. Monero, all of the transactions are shielded on Monero.
Right.
Zcash, you can do either transparent or shielded, so you can do public transactions on Zcash, or you can do the secret transactions. Monero, it's all secret. They want to crack them both.
That's what they want to do. According to a pre-solicitation document, the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, wants to know if it is possible before filing an official solicitation request later down the line. So first, we have a job that'd like to be done. We want to know if it is possible. Can pigs fly? Can you make pigs fly? All right. Yes, you can make pigs fly. Here's your requisition order for flying pigs. And that's what they're doing.
Do you think that there's going to be some computer geek out there who tells the government, yes, it's possible, and then collects a bunch of money trying to come up with something but then fails?
I would bet money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Department of Homeland Security said that prior efforts have addressed Bitcoin analytics, but now the agency and law enforcement agencies under its supervision are looking into similar cryptocurrency analytics solutions that can be used to track so-called privacy coins, cryptocurrencies that support anonymous transactions. A key feature underlying these newer blockchain platforms is frequently emphasized as the capability for anonymity and privacy protection, the DHS document said. While these features are desirable, they are similarly compelling interest in tracing and understanding. There's a similarly compelling interest in tracing and understanding transactions and actions in the blockchain of an illegal nature. Now, first thing we need to say here is that, yeah, obviously the Department of Homeland Security wants to be able to find out if people are using cryptocurrency so they can find out who's buying and selling drugs or God knows what on the internet, right?
Because they want to know everything about you, everything you do. They want to have a database.
Right. And probably 1% of the time they're going to actually be tracking bad guys, and the rest of the time they're hunting down the rest of us who are just doing whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think it's worth pointing out, the vast majority of drug deals and other illegal transactions, terrible transactions, awful, disgusting transactions, are done in government currencies, specifically
cash,
the United States dollar.
Sure, that's the drug dealer's preference.
The U.S. dollar issues the currency that most bad things are done in.
Because it's untrackable.
But they want to pay your dollars, your tax dollars, to track this other currency.
Sure.
Because reasons.
Because they want control.
Yeah.
And they don't like competition.
They want control. Get control over your own money first.
How are they going to do that?
If they really wanted to know this, stop issuing paper dollars.
Well, there are people who fantasize about that in the world of banking and government.
They could if they wanted to.
Because then they would be able to track more.
If they wanted to, they could. They could issue tomorrow a cryptocurrency that is a one-for-one to dollars. They could control it in the same way they control the dollars.
They're the government.
What's that?
No, they couldn't. They can't issue a cryptocurrency because they're the government. They'll probably fail almost as miserably
as
Venezuela.
They can't keep drugs out of their own prisons. Yeah. I'm just saying that this is more nonsense, more wastes of time.
Indeed. So I don't think they're going to succeed at cracking Monero, but it's great that they're trying to because it shows how much of an impact Monero and Zcash have had. It's basically,
I think, I think we should put a proposal in and see if we can get that money.
They've thumbed their nose at the government, saying, yeah, 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 and the government can't do anything about it. They are so mad about it. You know they're so mad. Hour three's coming up. The Truman Show. We'll talk about it.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order and you're going to obey it.
Who told you to go this way?
You can't do that and you have to leave here.
You cannot bring signs into the rally.
Walk with me.
Well, I'm comfortable here, actually.
Bureaucrats have a funny way of telling people no.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain.
Derek Jay's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. It's 855-450-3733. Coming up, apparently, recently it was the 20th anniversary of The Truman Show. And I guess it wasn't that recent. I'm sorry. I'm looking at this this date, but it was over the summer. But still, fascinating story about a movie that I really enjoyed in the late 1990s. It was basically the first serious role of Jim Carrey,
because
he'd always been, you know, a comedic actor prior to this this film. And this
was very talented guy, though.
Huge breakout for him. And so we can get into that coming up here in moments. Your calls and thoughts, certainly welcome. You can bring up whatever you want. We just found out that the U.S. federal government's looking to crack Monero and Zcash. If you want to comment on that, you're welcome to do so. Good luck to them. I suspect they will fail, and I hope they fail spectacularly. Let's go to Big Loaf in North Carolina, watching us on our Twitch feed at twitch.lrn.fm. Hello, Big Loaf.
Gentlemen, good evening.
Yes,
sir. Unfortunately, I think they're going to be pretty successful at getting around some of the privacy protections of some of these privacy coins.
I'm curious.
If you rewind back to March of this year, there was an Intercept article.
Wish I could. I do some crypto trading.
Well, yeah, indeed. But if you go back, the Intercept actually published the latest from Snowden and some of the snooping techniques that the NSA uses, and specifically what they were doing in terms of cryptocurrency. As part of the article, they interviewed Matthew Green, who, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the co-founders of Zcash, and he said regarding the NSA's snooping techniques, what they're doing makes privacy cryptos, quote, totally worthless, right? And so when you look at this request for, the pre-purchase request, as it were, right, and you read the document, what they're really asking isn't, hey, is it possible to do this? They already know it's possible, and they probably have a working model. And if you read that request statement, what it's really looking for is more of a pluggable infrastructure to, as part of phase one, we want to be able to track Monero and Zcash. But as far as phase two and three, what they're really after is something that can be pluggable to track new forks as new stuff comes out over time. So it's really, just putting two and two together. It looks like it can be done, and they're looking to improve the infrastructure that they already have in-house that already tracks crypto.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's your interpretation, and I imagine that the people behind Monero and Zcash have something different to say about it.
Well, no. One of the guys behind Zcash actually said that same thing.
But in March, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, what you said he said in March, and obviously we're taking your word for it, but what you said that was that the NSA, their techniques to break into your computer make these cryptos useless, was what he said.
No, I can be a much more precise with finding that article. It's on the intercept.com. Mm-hmm. And if you go to, what is it? What's the Discord link? Discord.freetalklive.com.
I think that'll get you there.
I'll post a link. Yeah, yeah. I'll post the link in there. But if you just Google The Intercept Zcash, the article comes right up. And he's very specific that as far as the privacy features of these coins, some of the surveillance techniques that the NSA has been employing are going to be very effective against things like Zcash in particular, which you might know something about because, if I'm not mistaken, he's one of the co-founders of or the co-creators of Zcash. And this guy's name is Matthew Green, assistant professor, Johns Hopkins University.
So, all right. Well, feel free to post it there. Are you going to post it in the news stories section on the Discord?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we'll be happy to take a closer look at that. But I'm sorry, I don't believe the idea that the government can outfox the marketplace when it comes to these privacy coins. But you know, everybody's got their opinion.
They don't have to outfox them. They just have to outviolent them. And the government's pretty good at violence. But anyways, gentlemen.
Well, yeah, but you still have to be able to find somebody in order to use violence against them. And
That's what they're saying they're able to do, according to the Intercept links. Okay. And it looks like...
Well, then where are all the busts? I mean, when are they going to start busting people?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great question as these things go.
Because, I mean, let's be clear, they haven't even busted the people who've been using Bitcoin on the darknet markets for the most part. Yeah, every now and then they'll take down an entire market and get the administrators of that market, and they'll do some investigations on some of the sellers on that market. But there have been thousands upon thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or millions of sales to individuals across the entire planet on these darknet marketplaces. And most of them have never seen the inside of a jail cell as a result of their transactions. So, color me unconcerned.
A few have.
Yeah, if the government poses as a seller.
You know, I guess it's sort of kind of like those. Remember that child pornography case from about a year or two ago where the government essentially hacked the machine and was running it for a couple of weeks.
In March 2015, the United States government...
And nobody thought it was possible. And to make their technique secret, they dropped the case.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I suspect you're right, too. It's not worth going after a bag of pot in that circumstance, but I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. So,
thanks,
anyways,
Big Low, for the call. I appreciate it. The toll-free number here, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. I'd love to hear what the Monero people have to say in response to this. I went and did a quick search. I didn't find anything real fast, but I haven't done a detailed search to try to see if they've come out and said, yeah, right, you guys can't crack this.
Fluffy Pony is liable to say anything on the internet, though, and he's the head guy over there at Monero.
Yeah.
Difficult to know what's what.
If you've been paying closer attention and you're a fan of Zcash or Monero and you want to weigh in on this, please feel free. Because, again, Mark, you and I, you know, we don't know a whole lot about the technology here. And we just...
Not programmers.
I tend to trust the programmers. I tend to believe in the geeks. And while the government can certainly
hire programmers
their own geeks,
has generally worked for me in my life. Yeah. Sort of trusting the greater body of programmers has worked. Once you hire one specifically to put up a website for you, that's when you get your problems.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, well, it'll be done next Thursday, 3 months later.
All right, so we'll look at that closer when we get the chance. So let's get into a little bit of pop culture here, Mark. We don't do a whole lot of pop culture discussion on Free Talk Live, but
that's because we're completely unqualified.
Everybody can talk. Everybody's qualified to talk about pop culture.
Okay.
Everybody, you know, you are into Marvel movies. You're completely qualified to talk about Marvel
movies. I can talk
movies.
About Marvel
You don't
movies,
have to be Stan Lee's godson or whatever
right.
to be
but
able to talk about
But if you were to go through, if we were to pull out a People magazine and start, name this person, name that person.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Back and forth, we don't know any of these people.
No, I don't know who most of the new stars or whatever in these movies are, but... I know who Jim Carrey is because I grew up in the 1990s, and he was, of course, a very funny comedian. Then he broke out of that mold, if you will, and started taking on some dramatic roles in the Truman
I don't know
Show.
That he's done any comedic roles
since then.
I mean, Pet Detective was some brilliant stuff.
Yeah,
but I don't know that I've The Mask. I mean, I don't remember anything. Yeah.
No, I think those I think were all before the Truman Show. So this is from the Onion's AV Club. Headline: The Truman Show was a delusion that came true. When The Truman Show was first released 20 years ago today, it was viewed as a parable about television and celebrity. Quote, if you think The Truman Show's an exaggeration, wrote Roger Ebert in his 4-star review at that time, he said, continuing, reflect that Princess Diana lived under similar conditions from the day she became engaged to Charles.
Yeah.
In a review titled The Audience Is Us, Jonathan Rosenbaum picked at the logistics of the premise. Would anyone actually watch this program? Could we possibly be so dumb? And what would the camera do when Truman takes an S? Now, let me explain briefly what this is. And I think they talk about it a little bit in the article. But in case you, you know, haven't seen the movie, and probably a good chunk of our audience hasn't, The Truman Show was like the first reality TV show, basically. Yeah. Truman, the character, Jim Carrey, was being watched constantly by cameras.
It wasn't reality TV because he was acting, but it was...
he wasn't acting.
Yes,
no,
the character.
I see what you're saying. Jim Carrey was acting as a character in the movie, but we're talking about the character Truman.
Okay.
Truman was a real person in the movie being watched on television. It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. And Big Loaf did post, as he promised, the Intercept article that he was talking about in the last segment on our Discord chat. I have pulled it up, and I do want to read a little bit from that to share, go back around to what we were talking about before. But I also want to make sure you know about Blink Home Security, because, you know, when do you want to spot the burglar? When he's casing your home or after he's in? Ask John, whose Blink camera alerted him of burglars trying to break in while he and his family were home. Or Shannon, whose Blink camera caught a thief stealing packages. Both times, the Blink video clips were sent to police to help convict the crooks. Blink motion-activated indoor and outdoor cameras are wireless, set up in minutes, and run on 2 AA batteries that last up to 2 years. If you're traveling over the holidays, Blink's live feed option lets you monitor your home and check in on pets from anywhere using the Blink smartphone app. No contracts, no subscriptions, and totally affordable. Plus, Blink works with Alexa. Blink camera systems make great holiday gifts, and they're a brilliant way to monitor holiday package deliveries. Save up to a whopping 40% off all outdoor XT and add-on cameras through December 22nd while supplies last. Visit blinkprotect.com/holiday. That's blinkprotect.com/holiday. To get
it's
to
a
deals.
Great deal that they've got going there, and I do highly recommend this this particular product. It's been great for me. What have we had it for now? Over a year. It's been great.
Blink's an Amazon company, and so here's the excerpt. Big Loaf was saying that one of the founders of Zcash was saying the NSA's techniques make privacy coins totally worthless. He left out a couple of words from this paragraph. Here's the actual quote from the article at TheIntercept.com. Green, who co-founded and currently advises a privacy-focused Bitcoin competitor named Zcash, echoes those sentiments, saying that the NSA's techniques make privacy features in any digital currencies totally worthless for those targeted. For those targeted. Meaning that if the NSA targets you, that they can basically totally own all of your devices.
Yeah.
And if they're owning all of your devices, well, then it doesn't matter if you've got a secretive technology that you can use because they know you're using it. You know, they could watch everything you do on your screen or whatever, that kind of thing. So
once they've got the key loggers in and all that stuff.
That's not to say that these are bad tech or that these are crackable tech. It's to say that if you have control over the user's device.
This tech is has to be placed on other tech.
Right.
And that tech
can be insecure.
Hackable and crackable.
Right. So you got to be concerned with your security. And basically, now, if the NSA wants you, they're going to come after
you. Let me ask you this. Can the NSA put these these tracking programs or whatever, can they put them on your device remotely? Or do they have to be sort of
in
meat space?
That's a good question. I'm not going to answer that because I don't know for sure. Let's go to Crippled Joe on the line in South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Crippled Joe.
How are you doing tonight?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, Merry Christmas ahead of time.
Thanks. Go ahead.
I'm a disabled Marine. When I called earlier, you were talking about Maduro.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me, Sanders, Farrakhan, Sharpton, so many big-time figures, movie stars here in the U.S. 10, 12 years ago were calling that paradise. They were calling it utopia. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. Didn't Danny Glover meet with who was the guy before Maduro? Ian, who was the guy
Chavez.
Before?
Chavez.
Yeah, I met with Chavez and that sort of thing. It was supposed to be the big experiment. It was supposed to really work out. They were all very hopeful.
He gave free tattoos to anyone in the country that wanted to get a tattoo of Chavez on their arm.
Great.
You knew that, right?
No, it's funny.
It's gross.
Yeah, you could absolutely get Chavez tattooed on your body for free.
Horrifying. All right.
I mean, that's what I've always wanted, a dictator tattooed on me.
Well, he's not a dictator to everybody. He wasn't a dictator to everybody. If he was he was the one on your team, then you liked him, right?
No. He's got about a top 15% that are his team.
Right.
And they're sharing all the money.
Right, yeah. They say about 20% at this point, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, it's got bigger. I guess he needed to move some of the army in on it.
Yeah, perhaps. The ones with the guns.
But isn't there a way that we could get him together with the Ayatollah and kind of get the same thing going on?
I'm sure they must have chatted.
I mean, if we could get them two together, both countries would fall apart.
Yeah, you're talking about Iran?
Yes.
I know that Venezuela's government is real friendly with Russia. There was actually another story in the news today that Russia is apparently sending jet planes down there, like military planes for whatever purpose.
That
I'm not
are
sure.
Nuclear missile capable.
Okay. Yeah, so you saw that story.
Yes.
Yeah, they're teamed up with Cuba, and so it wouldn't surprise me if they're friendly with Iran as well.
Yeah, this is what happens when the U.S. has put this these sanctions on them. They have to go someplace, so obviously they're going to go there.
Well, they go Cuba, they go Russia, they go China, and I'm sure there are several Middle Eastern countries that still want to do business with them.
Anything else you want to share tonight, Cripple Joe?
Well, I heard you talking about Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And while some of his comedy early was, laughable, I always thought he tried too hard.
Yeah, I mean, not every comedian's for everybody,
yeah,
but
not everybody's for everybody.
I just remember those Pet Detectives and thinking, man, what a laugh a minute. They just kept them coming. When you're talking about the living color where things are done live, yeah, well, doing live radio for a living, I know that some jokes fly and some jokes don't.
Was that show live?
Well, it's
maybe
that feel.
Maybe it's just because I was born in the 50s, but, I remember Jerry Lewis, Danny Kaye.
Yeah.
Okay. They did a lot of similar things to what Carrey did.
Right.
But it always seemed natural with them. Carrey, it always seemed like he was trying.
Yeah. A little too forced for your taste. Yeah, I mean, he was a little exaggerated. That's definitely true, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
And, it works for some people. For others,
I mean, it wasn't bad. I watched the movies, and I enjoyed the movies. It's just, it just didn't feel natural when I was watching it.
Cripple Joe, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Yeah, I can't say I'm a huge fan of his comedy or anything. None of it's particularly memorable to me. I mean, I know I saw a few.
I don't
of
own
them,
a collection.
Yeah, I don't own a single one of his movies.
I think it's good.
The only movie I've ever owned of his is The Truman Show, actually, and that wasn't a comedy. I mean, it had its moments of comedy, but it was a drama. I mean, it was a dramatic film, and an excellent one at that. We got more from the AV Club on The Onion about how The Truman Show has kind of become reality. They say here it was a delusion that came true. And The Truman Show, if I didn't express it correctly earlier, it wasn't a reality show. It was about a reality show.
Right.
A concept that didn't exist yet.
At the time.
At the time.
It arguably created the reality show.
We're going to get into it coming up here in moments. Did it even go further than that? Or how has life been reflecting this concept? That's some of what they're going to get into here after 20 years. It's been 20 years since this film came out. Amazing. 855-450-FREE if you want to join us here on the radio. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. Some of you asked, and now we've delivered. LRN.FM's live Keene, New Hampshire studio shows are now streamed in HD on Twitch. Visit our channel at twitch.lrn.fm and give it a follow. If you have Amazon Prime, you get one free subscription on Twitch. If you use it on our channel, Twitch will give LRN.FM a monthly piece of your Prime subscription cost. So please watch, follow, share, and subscribe to twitch.lrn.fm. That's twitch.lrn.fm. It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free, bring up anything you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE. Joining you in the studio, it's Ian.
And Mark.
You can also join us on our Discord on-air call-in line rooms. Just go to discord.lrn.fm. You can join us in there as Libertarian Banker has done. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. I love Jim Carrey and some of his movies. I just have to say, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie.
I think I did see that one. I recall it was good.
But it's a total, you know, not his type of role that he would normally play. So,
yeah.
Anyway, just figured I'd pitch in on that. But I really wanted to call in about crypto.
Okay.
And Big Loaf, who called in earlier, who he's always been a gold person. So, you know, he's always going to, you know, err on the side.
I like gold, too, but I also like crypto. I don't think it's a one thing or the other, but for him it is. So he's all into the precious metals and all against crypto.
Exactly. And so, you know, the point I want to make is that it doesn't matter that all, you know, the crypto transactions are spied on by the NSA or whatever the article that he has. It just doesn't matter for the value that cryptocurrency brings. The majority of transactions in this country are legitimate transactions.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority, I mean, probably over 95%, 98% maybe, are legitimate transactions. And it doesn't matter if, you know, if the government sees those or not. They're seeing them now.
Right.
But the real tech is behind the blockchain and what crypto has brought in terms of making, you know, transactions cheaper, making them happen a lot faster and making them, maybe searchable. Maybe that's a good thing to have something that can be searchable.
Absolutely, so, it is. I mean, I love being able to just go on the blockchain and look up a Bitcoin transaction that I did to make sure it went to where I thought it was going to go to. Somebody says they didn't get it. I'm like, well, yeah, you did. It's right there. You know, you can see it.
Exactly. And so, you know, it would be nice to track transactions, and that'd be very useful to a bunch of people. So the usefulness is not in the fact that it's private. Yeah, there are some that have that feature.
Right.
And maybe that's why they're valuable. But that's not why crypto is valuable. It's the blockchain and what that brings to transactions. I mean, I can remember sending a wire transfer one time.
Oh, God.
I work at a bank.
Yeah.
And sending that wire transfer cost $100. It was an international wire transfer because it had to go through two or three different banks,
right,
to get there. So it's just, it's,
and good luck,
know,
tracking a wire transfer. I mean, they can do it. They've got Fed ID tracking numbers, but it takes some time.
If one wants to talk about precious metals for a minute, I think it's worth, again, I'm a precious metals owner and an advocate.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's worth pointing out that if the NSA is going to track your computer and then can thus see what your Monero or Zcash transactions are, then they've targeted you. If they've targeted you, they're going to, you know, see where you bought your gold and silver.
If you bought it through an online, you know, merchant or something.
Almost all of it is now.
Yeah, unless you're buying person to person.
Unless you're buying a person to person, you're getting a 1099 for this gold and silver. You know, they know you've got it. And if they know you've got it, then, and they desperately want your gold and silver for whatever reason, they hit you in the knee with a wrench until you tell them where it is. See, there's no password to protect it, or there's no password protection that's going to save you when somebody knows you've got it. And that they know you have access to it, whether it's gold and silver or crypto or whatever it is. This is why I say don't keep your crypto, don't keep access to your crypto in your home. Are you kidding? Well, yeah, I mean, somebody can't a hack into your computer, big fat hairy deal. Good old criminals carry guns. First they'll shoot you in your knee, then they'll ask you where your password is. As you tell them the lie about where you don't have it, they shoot you in the other knee. Now, at what point, as they clip your fingers off joint by joint,
God,
do you think you're going to be able to hold on?
Is this a Die Hard movie?
What's this? Well, I'm just saying.
Is this a Die Hard movie or something?
This is how these things go. I mean, there are ways to, you could try to get your gold and silver, you bury it in the backyard, you buy it through somebody so they don't know where it came from, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And that's a fine and dandy. I don't know what good it is to you at that point, but you've got it. There's foreign vaults that you can pay people to keep your gold and silver in. But usually, I mean, I don't know. It seems expensive to me. I mean, that's not the
world
I operate.
What's going to stop the government from showing up at the vault and taking all the gold like they did with Liberty Dollar?
Yeah, that's when the vault was there in their country. They did Liberty Dollar. The vault was in the U.S.
The governments of anywhere in the world could want to go and take gold out of the vault.
If your concern is the United States government, because this is where
my concern would be any government anywhere. Okay. Remember Cyprus and all the other governments have, haircutted people's bank accounts and things like that?
I don't trust the Swiss more, but, they've got a history with keeping your gold and silver safe.
Look, against a determined adversary, especially if one with funding like the government, you're done for.
The best safety is camouflage.
And, I think you guys made a great point. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. I guess the point really that I wanted to make was about crypto and its value being the blockchain. And I think I called in about a story from Ripple earlier in the year that had a program called XRapid.
Yeah.
That was allowing banks to transfer currency, internationally very, very cheaply, which that is the value. So
yeah, there's a lot of value to cryptocurrency in its use, and it's awesome. Thank you for the call, Libertarian Banker. I appreciate it. So The Truman Show, released 20 years ago, this from the AV Club at The Onion. Shortly after the movie's release, reality TV exploded. And in our chat room at the Discord does point out that apparently Real World on MTV came out before The Truman Show and Cops, of course, which was out in the 80s. So, American Idol in 2002, Survivor in 2000, Big Brother in 1999, and we shifted to view The Truman Show as a prescient forecast of that cultural obsession. Around the film's 10-year anniversary, we began to read of The Truman Show Delusion, which I have not heard of until this article. People apparently became convinced they were the stars of a reality show and that everyone around them was merely performing for an unseen camera.
Those are people with schizophrenia.
Versions of the disorder had existed prior to the movie. It merely lent a popular reference point. Treating the delusion was difficult, given that patients would think the doctors themselves were just part of the ruse.
I used to work at a health club. A lady would come in. She was a scientist, actually. She was helped make drugs. But she had mental health issues. And sometimes she'd come in and she'd ask me to make sure that nobody was following her. Mm. And if they were following her, to send her in a different direction.
Okay.
She'd talk about helicopters.
We'll let you know.
That were, flying around.
Yeah.
If you're worried about helicopters, chances are good.
You're a delusion.
You got a problem.
At its worst, the delusion has been linked to attempted suicides, murder, and an attempt to scale the Statue of Liberty. One woman became convinced that she was a webcam. Psychiatrist who coined the term told The Telegraph, quote, "These are not people who want to be famous. Quite the contrary, they want to be left alone." And now another decade has passed.
I'm a walrus. Coo-coo-coo-choo.
What should we make of The Truman Show in 2018, the era of the reality TV president? In a lot of ways, it's a charmingly anachronistic film, not just in its Norman Rockwell version of suburbia, but in its very concerns and most outre sci-fi concepts. The story follows Jim Carrey as a man whose every second from birth onward has been broadcast to an adoring audience of billions. At the film's outset, a piece of lighting rig falls out of the sky, and Truman grows increasingly aware of the falseness of his reality. Peter Weir, working with graceful scale from a script by Gattaca's Andrew Nichols, cuts between Truman, his adoring real-life viewers, and the preposterous Christoph, Ed Harris, a beret-wearing maestro lodged in a control booth on the moon. Christoph orchestrates Truman's entire reality, introducing a comely new co-worker as things begin to fizzle with his wife, for example, and also works to keep him trapped there. The show began as an infomercial to sell baby food, but as Truman grew, so did the soundstage, eventually housing a full operating city. It's surrounded by water that a staged childhood trauma renders uncrossable. Get into a little bit deeper here. The Truman Show, 20 years later, what has it meant in culture and what does it mean now looking back? The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom in this reality world that we kind of now live in, where everybody can be their own reality star to some extent. It is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Moments remain. Enough time if you want to jump in here. 855-450-FREE with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark.
And don't forget, the AMP program is there. And thanks to Nick C. for being a Free Talk Live silver amplifier, which means he's given $5 a month to the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And it's a way for you to get behind the show and get some cool perks. You can get all the details and get signed up with PayPal. You can use, the credit cards. I think Discover and American Express are now supported. Nobody's ever tried, but they're there, suppose. And then, of course, Bitcoin BTC. So head on over, join the AMP program like Nick C. has done. And again, it's just $5 a month. We appreciate it. ampamp.freetalklive.com. The premise of The Truman Show, mind-blowing as it was in 1998, this article from The Onion's AV Club, can be traced back to old Twilight Zone episodes. Paul Bartel's 1968 short film, The Secret Cinema, and Robert Heinlein's 1941 story, They, among others, the film fit into a wave of premillennial cinema that questioned the nature of reality, including Dark City, another one that was fantastic.
Yeah, Dark City was, to some extent, I mean, people say that it was a precursor to The Matrix.
They both came out at very similar times.
Okay.
The third, I think, 1 year off from one another. The 13th Floor, Ed TV, Pleasantville, I love that one, Existence, and The Matrix, the last of which is the only one that challenges it for cultural longevity. The Truman Show was among the first of these films, and it has a charmingly analog vision of how all this might work. There are no rifts in reality and surprisingly little computer-age technology, just a soundstage visible from space and clockwork orchestration of everything, from traffic patterns to television programming. Cameras are hidden in snack machines and lapel pins in the event that Truman might happen by them. In one of the movie's most whimsical scenes, a rainstorm breaks out directly above his head, following him with a slight lag along a beach. It's a simulation of reality designed not by algorithm, but by hand. Weir and Nichols' focus was on the audience, who are embodied alternately as a bar full of city dwellers, a pair of shiftless cops, a middle-aged guy in his bathtub, and a pair of elderly women clutching Truman embroideries. We see them react with joy and consternation as Truman begins breaking the rules of the simulation. Weir, as the director, originally wanted to install cameras in movie theaters and at some point cut to the actual audience watching the movie as well. He toyed with the idea of playing Christoff himself. Truman may be fictional, in other words, but its setting was real. We would do this, the film insisted. We would watch a man merely live a life out on television.
Yes.
Rather than living one ourselves. We would turn a nobody
into... This is how I feel about the kids who watch YouTube videos about people playing video games.
Mm.
This is how I feel
like
about Twitch. Yes. I just don't understand. I get that you might watch a YouTube video about how to win in a particular area in a video game.
Yeah.
But just
watch the playthrough.
Let's just sit down and watch somebody play a video game and then maybe yell and there's a lot of noises and talking.
Mark that for tomorrow night. We're going to do a Twitch after show tomorrow night and we can talk about that. We would turn a nobody into a celebrity through sheer collective will. As reality television increasingly gobbled up people's attention in the ensuing years, it was fair to think that the movie had been right. In 2003, The Joe Schmo Show one-upped the film's premise, casting an everyman on a fake reality show where a group of actors played not real people as in The Truman Show, but stereotypical reality show roles. At the end, they revealed the ruse, giving Joe Schmo $100,000 and a lifetime of humiliation for his trouble. A then-unknown Kristen Wiig received a head injury in the process. There's always the thread of wish fulfillment running through speculative fiction, even at its most critical, and the same is true of The Truman Show. Like reality TV, it assures us that we could be special. We might got talent, get extremely made over,
right,
to keep up with the Kardashian.
Right, like the Kardashians that are famous for being famous.
Precisely. viewing The Truman Show today, you have to force yourself to remember that reality TV was once a noteworthy phenomenon and not the air we breathe. Not only would we turn a nobody famous, the film postulated, but we've succeeded in turning everybody famous. Each of us, the micro-celebrity of our own narratives, thanks to the internet. As with Truman, the cost of this constant drip feed of personal gratification, likes, retweets, and so on, is privacy. So the cost is privacy, meaning that, you know, all the things that we're doing, it's all viewable publicly now.
Yeah. And you made it that way.
YouTube has minted scads of genuine superstars who post daily missives with varying degrees of production intensity. They even have a convention for them. There's like a YouTube con where you can go and, you know, meet your favorite YouTube stars.
Thank goodness. Quick
trip to the platform shows uncountable legions of would-be stars broadcasting their everyday musings to thousands or hundreds or dozens. Every other major social platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, has likewise incentivized people to stream their lives, producing a bottomless well of user-generated reality programming. Remember a decade ago, Mark, when there was this guy, Justin.TV, who...
I remember the name.
Who put his life on a streaming video channel?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened. And then it became a streaming video platform for other people to do the same thing. What happens when celebrity at last arrives? Truman, realizing he's the focal point of all this attention, loses it. Carrey's excellent at this, working his spastic face muscles and acrobatic Adam's apple toward surprisingly dramatic ends. In one of the film's most resonant narrative threads, newspapers provide cover-up for breaks in the reality, like the falling light. Truman becomes a tinfoil hat theorist himself, finding patterns in traffic, reading portentous omens into people's blank stares. He never even picks up on the vast web of systems designed to keep him complacent. The friend who shows up with beer whenever he gets worked up. The docile, reassuring TV and music of his town, the gravitational pull of his mortgage, his wife's desire for children, it's suffocating him, driving him mad. But despite all his wild-eyed manic terror, Truman is right. Every conspiracy theory is true. Everyone is out to get him. And there really are cameras everywhere.
It's not paranoia if it's true.
If anything has changed between now and the movie's 10-year anniversary, it's that the internet has transformed into this place where every conspiracy theory is true, where everyone's always watching, waiting for you. The Truman Show looks less like the increasingly scripted world of modern reality TV and more like the modern internet, full of endless antagonism, hyper-specific advertising, constant surveillance, seductive conspiracy theories, vainglorious anger, and preening self-importance. The film ends with Truman finding a door out of his reality at the end of a soundstage, leaving us to wonder what awaited him in the real world. Spoiler alert. For a clue, we might look to Carrey himself.
20 years old. I don't think you need a spoiler alert.
For a clue, we might look to Carrey himself, who has kept busy in recent years protesting Facebook and wandering onto a red carpet to tell an E! Interviewer she doesn't exist. Have you seen some of the more recent Jim Carrey, kind of what he's been doing in real life stuff? He has achieved a viral fame within the hell world of Twitter for paintings that lampoon who else? Our reality TV president. In 2018, there isn't a single person online who isn't in some way operating under the delusion that he made famous. Thought it was an interesting piece about a particularly relevant film to what's happening now. Let's go to Gary in Rapid City, South Dakota. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Gary.
Hi there. I remember calling you when I was in China recently, back in the States, and I've never seen a country so divided since I came back, the way things are.
How long were you in China?
On and off 23 years, but then just recently I was there 7 months, and then I called you a couple of times from there.
Feel it's more divided now than it was 7 months ago? Or are you just saying over the 20 years it's become significantly divided?
Over the 20 years, really. You know, although I've noticed a few changes in the 7 months, right? Either that or I was so blocked off from the news I haven't been able to follow anything. You listen to Fox and you get one thing about there's no collusion with the Russians and this Mueller investigation. And on the other hand, they're saying the left is saying, oh, no, we're going to prosecute and impeach Trump. And it's just like, how is anything expected to get done with all these distractions? And I just don't
get it. What do you want them to do exactly?
Yeah, I don't want anything done.
I don't want a civil war or anything like that.
You know? What do you think the civil war is going to be? A lot of people talk about this concept these days. What civil war? Who are going to be the sides in the war?
Well, this is just rumors. You know, they say red versus blue. There's Brexit. And
so the Crips
Texas,
and the Bloods.
You know, yeah.
My money's on the Republicans. They're the gun owners.
Yeah, they're the gun owners. That's true. I'm sort of middle of the road, and I just feel sad that they can't sort of resolve their differences and just get things done. You know?
Well, again, I'll ask you, what do you want them to do? What are the things you want them to do?
Well, I'd like them to, a while back, the Democrats were talking about enforced immigration.
Enforcing immigration? You know, this is a much bigger conversation. Would love to have you call any other time earlier in the show. Always better to call earlier rather than later on. Thank you for the call, Gary. I appreciate it. We're there multiple days, 7 days a week. You can join us here any old time. And live online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. We will see you tomorrow night and the after show tomorrow on twitch.lrn.fm. Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm.